The talented investigative reporter Mark Shaw is with us. We're going to continue chatting with him and take your calls this hour as we talk about his investigations. We're talking about the newly released 1,500 documents, only 500 aren't very good, of the JFK assassination, and there's still 10,000 more out there, he says. George Norrie back with Mark Shaw. Mark, do you think the assassination of John F. Kennedy that may have led to the deaths of Sam Giancana, Johnny Roselli, maybe Jimmy Hoffa as well, why did they try to shut those people up?
Well, it's just the way the those kinds of individuals that have to do with the underworld and all of that, they play by those rules. So what's the word that is the worst word that can be possible there? If you're a rat.
Yeah.
And even the supposition that you would be talking to the government, like Roselli was apparently, or Giancana was, or whatever that way, the other ones that are still, could be susceptible to indictment, like Marcello or like Costello in New York or Trafficante or those kind of Meyer Lansky. You know, that just isn't tolerated. I've told you my story many times about when I was with Good Morning America and I interviewed that lawyer for the Angelo Bruno, the mob boss in Philadelphia, about them getting involved in the Atlantic gambling industry, and we played that interview with him, and he gave me information I didn't think he should, and the next morning it played on Good Morning America and my interview. And it was a big hit. They called me and asked me to interview him again, George, as you remember. And I called his office, and this woman answered. I could tell that something was wrong. And I finally said, "Is Mr. Such and Such there?" And she said, "No, Mr. Shaw, I guess you don't know. When he started his car this morning, it blew up." You can't mess around with those kind of guys. That they have their own rules and all of that. And that's where Dorothy got too close to the truth, and that's where Bobby Kennedy offended those guys, and the revenge factor there and all of that. You have to look at motive with regard to all of these deaths, and when you do, you understand that somebody like Roselli, if they had any sniff at all that he was talking to Bobby Kennedy about squealing, about being a rat or something, he probably was dead the next day.
By the way, Bruno's name has come up several times in the Jimmy Hoffa disappearance as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time.
Well, that's most interesting. I didn't know about that at all. And, there may be a question in your listener's mind. I'm saying, with collateral damage and my other books, take a look at those. But then once you have, then go in and look at the documents yourself. Don't take other people's word for it. I pride myself on primary sources, the documents, and all those kind of things. But the two real credible accounts of what happened with the JFK assassination are the Ruby trial transcripts, which I exposed in one of my books, Denial of Justice, and they're in the book Collateral Damage. I would suggest people look at those, because those were eyewitnesses who testified under oath at trial and talk about Jack Ruby saying he would be there when Oswald was being transferred, things like that. And then Dorothy Kilgallen's columns. Her columns are all there in my books, also at the DorothyKilgallenStory.org. Because those, I wasn't there in 1963. You weren't. Nobody was that really has written about this, but Dorothy was right there in the front row. She befriended Melvin Belli. She interviewed Jack Ruby, the only one to do so, and then, she ended up going to New Orleans, looking into Marcello, and then she was dead about 2 months later.
What's going on with Sirhan? Sirhan, the parole board has authorized his parole. The governor's got to make a decision, eminently. I'm not sure he's going to get out. What's going on there? Do you know?
Well, that's one of those political football situations. It concerns me a great deal, frankly, because of what I learned when this has all been going on. As you know, George, I've worked my tail off to try to get a thorough investigation of Dorothy's death in 1965 by first New York City District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr., and they went after it for a while and then quit, and then the police chief, the police commissioner shook my hand and said they'd do it, and they haven't gone very far. But I did send copies of Collateral Damage about the death of Marilyn Monroe and Bobby Kennedy's complicity, which I prove in the book, to George Gaston, the L.A. District Attorney, and ask him to look into to Marilyn's death. And as you know, when this parole situation came up, he said, "I'm going to stay out of it." The DA's job is done once there is a trial and a verdict,
right,
which I've never heard before from a DA. But then he also said, and also, you know, I idolized the Kennedys and especially thought Bobby Kennedy would make a great president. So obviously he's not going to look into Marilyn's death because I've basically showed that it was Bobby Kennedy who was involved there. So I don't know what the governor of California will do. He'll probably do, as most politicians do, whatever he thinks is best, because I have a feeling the governor wants to run for president at some point. So, you know, Bobby Kennedy's gotten involved in all that. Bobby Kennedy Jr.
I just had him on my show, by the way.
Oh, you did. We talked about that.
I was thinking of calling you, but I tell you why I didn't.
Yep.
He came on to talk about vaccinations,
right,
and his father's assassination. And I didn't want to railroad him by bringing you in and then hit him with there's horrible stories about he and Marilyn Monroe. I just didn't want to put him in that position.
No, I'm glad you didn't. Did he say anything about the Sirhan Sirhan case?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's one of the Kennedy supporters of the parole.
And they think the guy next to Sirhan is the one that
actually thinks somebody else was the shooter.
I understand.
Yep.
Well, the jury didn't believe that, but the juries make mistakes, too, so we'll wait and see what happens. But I think, that will happen pretty quickly now.
Absolutely. You ready for some calls?
Absolutely.
Let's go to Thomas in La Jolla to get us started in California. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you. And, Mark, you're doing great work. Keep up the stellar research, in my opinion.
He's the best.
You know, a comment and then a question. Okay. And there's been several books. I don't know if you've checked them out. One is Double Cross. It's by Charles Giancana,
mm-hmm,
a brother to Chicago mobster Sam Giancana. And in that book, Charles Giancana contends explicitly that Sam Giancana told him that he was present in the apartment of Marilyn Monroe when she died, because he was there to facilitate the hit and make sure that the hit was properly conducted. Okay, that's the first book. You may want to check it out. Mary Pinkoat Meyer, there's a very hard-to-get book out of print by Timothy Leary, who knew Mary Pinkoat Meyer, and the book is called Flashback. And he writes about how Mary Pinkoat Meyer tells him about the affair with John F. Kennedy and that how she was afraid that she was going to be hit. She was married to CIA agent Cord Meyer.
Yeah.
Remember Watergate? The Watergate break-ins? It's the same Cord Meyer.
Yeah,
and the
well,
third
very
book...
Very well informed here, yes.
Yeah, the third book is Michael Milan is the author, and it's called The Squad, and the subtitle is The Shocking Truth About J. Edgar Hoover's Private Hit Team. And that was published in 1990 by SPI. And it's a very explicit book, names. Essentially, long story short, Costello, the mob boss of New York City,
right,
assigns Michael Milan, his best enforcer and hitman, to J. Edgar Hoover. And Milan doesn't realize this until he says, go to this hotel room, and he meets J. Edgar Hoover, and he works for J. Edgar Hoover, carrying out all of these private hits for Hoover, and including popping up after the Kennedy assassination. And Milan is very explicit in this book, The Squad.
Well, you've covered a lot of territory here. Let me just address a couple of the things you said.
And by the way, one correction. She was not in an apartment. She was in her house.
Yeah, the whole Giancana, him being there and everything, that doesn't... Again, George knows I respect everybody's opinions and everything, but it really doesn't connect with the theory that I have in collateral damage as to how Marilyn was killed and why, and Bobby Kennedy's involvement there and everything. But Giancana, you know, and anything's possible, that book has some good material in there. As far as Timothy Leary goes, yes, with Mary Meyer Pinchot, You know, he had a relationship with her at one time, basically having to do with LSD. I haven't looked at that book because I haven't been able to find it, but I've been able to find some other material that makes me really suspicious that the truth hasn't been told about her her death. As far as the squad that you mentioned and the Costello situation, the thing I'd say about the Costello situation is, you know who the person is that set up Carlos Marcello in New Orleans? That's Frank Costello. Marcello started his empire, which as of 63, 64, 65, when Dorothy was killed, it was immensely wealthy, an empire that stretched to Dallas, $50, $60 million. George, you may remember, I'd found a new CIA document about him. But he started out with slot machines in New Orleans, and that all came from Frank Costello. So I appreciate all of your thoughts about that, and obviously you've done your homework and done a lot of reading, so thank you.
What a sordid time period, Mark, in those days,
oh,
huh?
Oh, my goodness. Jeez. I couldn't believe it when I learned that Mary Meyer Pinchot had died in 64, so you got 62, 3, 4, 5 there with four deaths, and then Martin Luther King is when? What's the year on it? It's right there, too, isn't it?
68
is RFK, but isn't...
68, I think, was Martin Luther King, too, I'm pretty sure.
Well, that may be. So it's a very tragic time and all kinds of questions about these deaths, but I will say we look at them as mysteries, but they really weren't mysteries if people would have just been paying attention and asking questions. That's why, as you know, I'm a big believer in people... You know, watch the newscasts, read what you do on the internet, do all of that if you want, but then do your own investigation and ask questions so that, because, you know, there was no mystery to what happened to JFK if they would ask the right questions back then. Same with Marilyn, same with Dorothy, and I think the same with this Mary Meyer Pinchot as well.
April 4, by the way, 1968, on the assassination date of MLK.
All right. And Bobby was after that then, right, or before?
Bobby was, I believe, he was after that.
After, okay. See, look at the tragedies there. And, you know, George, isn't it interesting to think about what would have happened if those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people hadn't been killed? How the world would have...
changed?
Oh, yes, and I try to, in Collateral Damage, I try to humanize Dorothy and Marilyn and JFK to show what they lost and also what the world lost when they died. Just think about Marilyn Monroe's death. I mean, when she was on the screen, there was nobody else there, and we lost that entertainment value. Dorothy Kilgallen's the finest investigative reporter that ever lived. You know, she's guided my research from the hereafter and helped me in terms of what I've been able to find. And then JFK, what would have happened if he hadn't died? It's the what-if situation there. You know, what would have happened with the world if those deaths hadn't occurred?
With social networking today, do you think JFK would have been able to politically survive? Because his antics were out of control.
Well, I think that would have been very, very difficult for him. You know, for whatever reason, the Kennedys had their flaws, and they all came basically from the parent, from Joe Kennedy, who was a terrible person, just a terrible person in terms of what he did. I think I've told you, you know, he had his trophy mistress, Gloria Swanson,
yep.
And at one point took his wife, you know, Rose, on a ship to England. She was on one end of the ship, and his mistress was on the other. Then you go to JFK and all of the women that he... you know, that he used for sex in the White House and all of that, you know, and everything. And his relationships, too. Same with him and Marilyn Monroe as well.
They took after their father.
Absolutely. And with the Internet, my goodness sakes, I don't think any of them would have survived, frankly.
Next up, let's go to Tom, Riverside, California. Welcome to the program. Hi, Tom.
Hello, George. I appreciate you taking my call. And, Mark, I'm glad to talk with you.
Yes, sir.
I kind of disagree with a lot of what you're saying towards the mob, and I don't think the mob could orchestrate this. And if our government was working properly, and of course it hasn't been for 60 years.
That's the key, Tom. They weren't working properly.
Two points I wanted to make was, one thing we know, Oswald was in that bookstore. Not to get a job, somebody put him there, and it's never been investigated. How he got there, who put him there, that needs to be investigated. The second point is Jack Ruby said at the time he loved John Kennedy, and that's why he shot Oswald. Now, that may be true. You know, he was a little wild. I knew bartenders would shoot into the wall when they got excited. Mm-hmm. Me, mm-hmm. In 70s, mm-hmm. In New Albany, Indiana. So okay. I'm sure that could have happened. It's possible, but if it wasn't that, it was something else. And as far as Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen, I was just a kid when I watched them. Mm-hmm. I loved the gal on, the show, and it doesn't matter really what happened to them as far as John Kennedy was killed. He was still killed, and he would have been killed whether they were there or not. One other point is George Bush is up to his neck in this, and his son is his son's father. And he knew Prescott Bush, his daddy, was best friends with Alan Dulles. John Kennedy said he'd break the CIA into 1,000 pieces. That's all I need to know. I'm not stupid. I know that's all I need to know.
He's got some interesting points there, Mark, with regards to what Dulles was saying.
As far as Oswald and the book depository building, again, Dorothy Kilgallen focused on Jack Ruby, not Lee Harvey Oswald, because there's an awful lot of dead ends there. And she could never figure out exactly who the hell he was and whether there were two or three of them or whatever it was. So I don't know that we'll ever really know that. As far as Ruby loving JFK and that's why he killed Oswald, I know that's been a theory, especially in a recent book of some sort, but that just doesn't make sense to me in terms of if you look at it in terms of the whole situation with regard to his affiliations with the mafia in and Marcello and all of that. I have now eyewitnesses in my book who saw Marcello, Ruby, and Oswald together in New Orleans. And Ruby, actually, he had a job to do, and that was to eliminate Oswald so he would be silent. So I can't agree with you there. I'm a bit offended by what you said about you really don't care too much about Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen dying. George knows I get very emotional about this because neither one of them should have died. And it is important. And if Marilyn's death had been properly investigated by the district attorney and the police there, instead of covered up by his friends, then as I've said in my books, especially in Collateral Damage, if Bobby would have been prosecuted, then there would not have been. Listen to me. There would not have been a JFK assassination because Bobby would have been powerless as Attorney General. And those who had to eliminate him so he would not be powerless wouldn't have had to have done so. He would have been powerless. And there wouldn't have been a JFK assassination in 1963. You can disagree with me, but I think the logic, basically the common sense of all of that, as I've shown, especially in Collateral Damage, makes a lot of sense.
And did George H.W. Bush really say he did not remember where he was when Kennedy was killed?
Well, these presidents, don't get me started with regard to them. It's just absolutely amazing that those kind of statements can be made. By the way, George, I don't want to forget. Okay, you just heard everything that I'd looked at, and I have other examples for you of documents that we won't have time to look at. But I want you to tell me if anything you heard that I just told you that was exposed in the documents meets this criterion. Temporary continued postponement of the release of the documents is necessary to protect against the identifiable harm to the military defense, intelligence operations, law enforcement, or the conduct of foreign relations that is of such gravity that it outweighs the public interest in immediate disclosure. Did you hear anything that meets that criterion?
I heard nothing that meets that criteria. We'll come back and take final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back in a moment with Mark Shaw and take final phone calls as we talk about his incredible work investigating these recently released JFK files again. Next hour, Kelly Sullivan Walden joins us. People are having strange dreams tied into the pandemic. She's analyzed that. She'll be talking with us about that in just a few moments on Coast to Coast. Welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you. Our final segment with Mark Shaw. Mark, working on any new books?
Well, yes, I am. I think I may look into the Mary Meyer Pinchot. I just want to briefly just tell you about one more document, because I think you'll be interested in this name who pops up, Frank Sturgis.
Frank Sturgis, Watergate.
Absolutely. But in here, it's a May 74. Here's another snitch for you. May 74, telephone call from Frank Sturgis, who indicated, this is CIA, who indicated that he wanted to meet with us as soon as possible in order that he might convey information of extreme importance to the agency. So, for whatever reason, he got in touch with the CIA in 1974. So there's some interesting names in here. Yeah, I think I may look into Mary Meyer Pinchot's death, and there's a couple other things that bother me as well, but I'll just continue my investigation, look forward to these government documents that we might get next year and see what we have in there.
Wasn't Sturgis identified as possibly one of those hobos in Dallas at the time?
Wow, I think you might be right. I might look into that.
So.
I do remember that he might have been alleged to have been one of them. Gosh, you got such a great memory. I'll take a look into that.
It's an incredible story. I mean, when you start weaving all the pieces together, it just, there it is. It's right there for you.
Yeah, if you use the common sense and you don't, what I noticed in the documents is all the rabbit holes they went down with regard to, I mean, there's information about Venezuela in there and possible sightings of Oswald and telephone calls anonymous in Australia that JFK was going to be killed. There's no substantiation for a lot of that. But they just go in all these different directions, basically because of J. Edgar Hoover sending them in the Oswald Alone arena.
Yes.
But there's an awful lot of worthless material in there, but there are some documents, as I say, that I think are of historical value.
What do you think Oswald's role was?
Oh, I think he was involved in some way. I think he probably was exactly what he said when they arrested him, that he was a patsy. I think he was probably set up. That way, there's actually in Mary Meyer Pinchot's a patsy. There was a guy who was on the trail where she died that they arrested and finally was acquitted at trial. But usually in these kinds of situations, you find those kinds of people like that. But I've connected him with Marcello, have an eyewitness account of that and all of that. So I think they probably used him, figured out that he would be a logical suspect of some sort. So. I think he was involved, but certainly he didn't act alone. It just didn't happen.
You think he was one of the shooters?
Again, George, I just can't speculate because it's very possible that he was. But I think, you know who Dr. Cyril Weck is, and he's my expert.
Right, just had him on the show.
Okay, good. Oh, you did. Terrific. Dorothy's death, Marilyn's death, the JFK assassination. He really has looked at the autopsies, as you know, and each one of those cases was just so flawed. In fact, he called the JFK assassination autopsy one of the worst he's ever known about. I don't know if he did that on your show or not.
He did. But, he has said that.
But he really concludes that the shots that killed JFK came from the front. They didn't come from the rear, I believe. And so, again, you can have a lot of speculation about all that, but what's more important is looking at the motive as to why JFK had to be killed, and that was to render Bobby Kennedy powerless, which is exactly what happened, as you know. Oh, guys, remember they called his group of people at the Justice Department the Get Hoffa Squad, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And that included then the Mafia and all of that. I'd forgotten that Hoffa's name was there as well.
Let's go back to the phones. Michael in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Hi, Michael.
Hi, George. There's a reason why Congressman Louis Gohmert was Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in Texas. And he proved that 6 days ago, Friday, December 17th, with an interview that he conducted with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Now, here's what came out of that interview that any knowledgeable person about the JFK assassination would have understood. If you have the background to understand that the German scientists hid in our pharmaceutical industry that were brought over here by Alan Dulles' CIA. If you have the wisdom to understand that the Italian fascist scientists were also hidden in our pharmaceutical industry, you will understand why Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for 20 years has been fighting and Dr. Anthony Fauci in court. Now we have him cornered by going into court with great jurists like Louis Gohmert. We have promised from us, the NIH didn't want to give it to openthebooks.com, but the courts have forced them to it. Fauci has 11,000 personal financial disclosures hidden in NIH.
But we got to find out if the courts ever get that's another investigation for you, Mark. This pandemic is unbelievable.
George, I can barely handle.
I know
the things I'm involved in. I appreciate this man's interest. You know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is an interesting man, and you said you had him on the show. You know, when I was going through these documents, I came across statements. You know, I appeared at the Commonwealth Club of San Francisco about collateral damage. A reporter who knew too much, denial of justice. Bobby Kennedy also appeared there. And there's a statement by him that his father basically admitted he knew it was Carlos Marcello who had killed JFK. He said that several times with regard to this. I also came across that comment by Robert Kennedy. I thought they would get one of us. I thought it would be me. Mm-hmm. And he basically was pointing to the guys in New Orleans because that just made sense with regard to this. So this whole situation with the vaccine, I respect Bobby Kennedy in terms of what he said and all of that, but I'm certainly no expert in that area.
And how do we know Marcello, who died in 1993, Bobby Kennedy in 1968, so, you know, 25 years later, he still lives. How do we know that he didn't figure, oh, my God, Bobby Kennedy's running for president. He may get the nomination. He could win. Here we go all over again.
Oh, boy, you've just hit it right on the spot, George, and that's something that I've investigated because the whole thing with Sirhan again, that sounds like a plant of some sort of patsy situation or whatever, I don't know. But the man who had the most motive to have eliminated Bobby Kennedy would have been Marcello because he's saying to himself, as you just mentioned, look at motive. Look, I've got my empire, and I told you, you know, he was worth millions in 1968. Well, in real estate and all of that, he was a great businessman and all that. So that's all at stake. And he's thinking to himself, oh, gee, you know, now I got rid of Bobby Kennedy as attorney general. Now he's running for president. What if the SOB becomes president of the United States? What's the first thing he's going to do? He's going to come after me.
Yep.
And so the motive is there. I've never been able to connect Sirhan with Marcello and all of that. I came close at one point because Marcello was involved in Hollywood Racetrack down there south of L.A., but I've never been able to make that connection. Now, the other gentleman, Carmen, or whatever his name was that they have alleged was right next to Sirhan and may have pulled the trigger, there could be a connection there, but I've never been able to put all that together. But motive-wise, Marcello was front and center with the greatest motive to have eliminated RFK.
I would love for somebody to chat with Sirhan. We still continue to try to get him on through his brother, but to ask if he knew Carlos Marcello.
Well, I'd certainly like to do that, too. I'm wondering whether, have you spoken through his lawyer and all of that with any success?
Bill Pepper, but nothing yet. But, you know, he may talk. If he gets paroled, and the deadline, I think, is coming up next week.
Oh, is that right?
That the governor's got to make a decision. They got 120. He was paroled in August by the board, but it's subject to the governor.
Uh-huh.
And they had 120 days to make a decision, and it's coming up. So we'll see what happens.
Well, interesting.
Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello there, Cornelius.
Hey there, George and Mark. Boy, I tell you, and Merry Christmas to all the callers and listeners.
You too,
George.
Corny.
My attorney was Richard V. Burns, Mr. Mark and George, and he worked with Big Jim Garrison down there in New Orleans, so he knew something about the Kennedy assassination and stuff. But unfortunately, Mr. Burns is gone now, but he has a son named Dimitri Burns. So maybe you can call him. He's a lawyer here in Alexandria. I wish he had told me something. He said authors used to call him all the time because, like I said, he worked directly with Jim Garrison on the Kennedy assassination and stuff, and he was in the office, so he knew Carlos Marcellus and all the rest of them mob members. My thing is I think the mob, the military, and the CIA had something to do with it, so that's my theory. But Dimitri Burns, look him up.
Well, I wrote it down, and, you know, the crazy thing about that whole situation with Marcello was that Garrison's right there in New Orleans, and he obviously, as the DA, knows about all the, you know, the illegal things that Marcello was doing with all of his, you know, money-making ventures with the slot machines and prostitution and gambling and all these other kind of things. He's right next door. There has been some conjecture that at some point, Garrison is gathering all of his assistant district attorneys together, and they're talking about where they're going to go with this. And one of them speaks up and says, well, you know, we ought to start right here at home with Carlos Marcello. And for whatever reason, Garrison just passes that along and doesn't do anything with it. But it's interesting, isn't the relationship, George, that I've shown between Melvin Belli and Jim Garrison. And I think I told you that in those FBI files that I found about Marcello, it also talked about F. Lee Bailey, who I practiced law with a little while. He and Belli going to see Jim Garrison in New Orleans in 1964 or 5, somewhere in there. I wish I would be able to find out what those three talked about. It'd be most interesting.
Let's go next to Joe in New Hampshire. Hey, Joseph, go ahead, sir.
Hi. Hello, Mr. Shaw. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I've listened to you in the past.
Thank you.
And I wish you were on the show at least once a month. You have so much information.
Oh, he's great,
to the
Joe.
Listeners.
He's great.
Here's a few points I want to run by you. Mm-hmm. Number one, as far as Sturgis, he speculation he was on the grassy knoll. That goes back to the late 60s. So George is right in remembering his name. That was speculation over 50 years ago. There is something going on there. Number two, Oswald in the book depository and Sirhan acting alone. It would seem to me that the forces behind both assassinations, just put them there, take your best shot, but there are other people involved. In other words, Oswald could take what he could, but people that, you know, may have been involved beside him were not the shiny object. They wanted to make Oswald the shiny object for the Warren Report. And Sirhan, give him a gun. I guess he fired shots and missed a lot of people, but they were the shiny objects. And number three, Mr. Shar, I'm going to be praying for you because Dorothy Gohanan got really close to the truth, and you're getting closer and closer to the truth as more documents come out, you do more research, and I really pray for you. I don't know if the dynamics today are the same as the 1960s for your safety, because back then it was a fresh crime. Now we're over 50 years later. Maybe it's not as important that you get to the truth. But I'm really worried, and I pray for you. And Mr. Norrie, thank you for having him on again. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. And most of the players involved in the assassination of JFK, they're all dead now anyways, Mark.
Well, they are. There are relatives of those people. And I want to thank Joe, bless you, Joe, for saying that about me. I appreciate it. People ask me all the time whether I worry about my safety and everything, but that's just part of the job. George goes on the air all the time. People don't agree with him, and so that's just part of the risk that we take. But for the most part, I've had unusual things happen in my life, but so far no direct challenges to my safety. The biggest complaints I get, George, by the way, are people who still love the Kennedys. They want to remember Camelot. They don't want to think anything, that there's any flaws to any of the Kennedys, including Joe, JFK, and Bobby. And I do have to say they all had their great characteristics to them as well.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to understand that, this is important for history to find out who's accountable for what happened back then. And so I appreciate, I just respect people who differ with me, but I try to portray the truth as I see it based on my research.
Well, your research is phenomenal, Mark. Keep in touch. We love having you on the program as often as we can, and you have yourself a great Christmas, my friend.
Thank you, and the same to you, George, and to Tom and all of your group. Thanks so much.
You got it. Mark Shaw, all his books available on Amazon.com. Just type in his name. Up next, We're going to be talking about dreams in the pandemic next.